Janet Hoff and the WRJN News Center. Cloudy tonight, lows around 40. Full forecast details are coming up. A chase this afternoon involving a person of interest in a violent home invasion in Summers a week ago ended with a crash at Meacham Road and Highway KR. According to a Kenosha Sheriff's Department news release, the person of interest was under surveillance, and after he got into a car, a deputy attempted a traffic stop. The driver did not stop, and the deputy pursued the vehicle until it crashed. Four adults and a child were in the vehicle, none seriously injured, although ambulances were sent to the scene. All were transported to the Kenosha Sheriff's Department for questioning. Early last Friday morning, an 84-year-old Summers man was shot, and both he and his 83-year-old wife suffered head injuries after a man broke into their home demanding cash and drugs. The couple is recovering. Kenosha police are investigating what's classified as an industrial-related death. Fire department paramedics and officers responded to Affiliated Food at 5521 88th Avenue about 7:15 Thursday night for a report of a workplace injury. A police department news release says a 25-year-old man was found deceased from blunt trauma. Witnesses reported the man had been operating a piece of machinery when he may have become unconscious and fell from it, leading to the trauma and his death. Witness statements and evidence were collected. The name of the victim has not been released. The city of Racine is moving forward on development of what was known as the Machinery Row project site, but now called the Water Street Redevelopment Effort. After one developer failed to deliver on properties acquired, and a second company couldn't secure needed tax credits from the state on another component. During the Redevelopment Authority meeting, Development Director Amy Connolly explained the city and General Capital Development agreed to part ways on the 615 Marquette Street building, which is likely to be torn down in the near future. Connolly said in addition to the legislature and the governor clamping down on historic tax credits, the new federal tax plan appears to eliminate them at that level altogether.
As a result of not being able to use historic tax credits, as well as recent action by the governor to cap the amount of tax credits that are available per project, those sources are not available to fund the renovation and improvement of that building. And therefore, General Capital felt pretty strongly that that meant that the building wasn't going to be able to be restored as we had anticipated.
The new emphasis on that old industrial corridor is going to include taking down buildings and preparing the 27 acres to make them ready for possible development. The city, meanwhile, also continues legal dealings to get back a building zoned by developer Rodney Blackwell. Despite delays in finalizing a contract between Foxconn and the state, a couple of local state legislators say it doesn't mean the deal is in trouble. Republican State Representative Robin Voss said he's still confident that Foxconn will come to pass.
The biggest concern that I heard from my constituents as I listened to the ones who had questions about whether the investment in Foxconn was worth it is to make sure that they create the jobs they promised, that the tax incentives don't happen unless jobs are created, and that if for some reason they fall short, there's a clawback to make sure that taxpayers are protected. All of those are being negotiated in the contract that will ultimately be signed. So I would rather have them take their time and get it right than to try to rush it through and then regret it later.
In a separate interview, Democratic State Representative Peter Barca made clear that he believes the deal will eventually be signed.
One never knows. Obviously, until the negotiations are complete, you don't have a deal. So I think it's still very likely that it would go forward, but there are still some important issues that have to be worked through.
Up until a few days ago, Barca sat on the board of directors of the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation, the quasi-private public agency that needs to sign off on the deal. He was replaced as part of the Assembly Democrats' recent leadership struggle. As a member of the legislature, Barca voted to support the Foxconn Initiative's package, while a majority of his Democratic colleagues voted against it. A ribbon-cutting ceremony is set for Sunday to open the first phase of the first tiny home village for homeless or at-risk veterans in Racine. The ribbon-cutting and open house for the James A. Peterson Veterans Village and S.C. Johnson Community Center will take place Sunday beginning at noon. The ceremony itself is scheduled for 1 p.m. The village is located at 1624 Yount Street. Parking will be available in the Horlick Field parking lot on North Memorial Drive. Janet Hoff, WRJN News.